Live generously. This is a slogan that is actually used by Thrivent Financial, which is an entity that we love very much because Thrivent provides a lot of extra funds for churches when they do special projects, such as our VBS, and they have these shirts that are always around, and maybe you saw them, if you remember them last week, kids were wearing Live Generously. If I were going to give a title for today's chapter, that would be it. It would be Live Generously, and then my tagline that with that would be, and be a number 50. Christians are called by God to emulate who He is, that we take on the characteristics that He has. And so one of the things that God is all about is generosity. God is all about giving. All throughout Scriptures, all throughout Jesus' discourse, He would constantly be giving of Himself. He would be tired and broken down, but He would give. He would be bombarded with people asking important theological questions, but He would be giving. He would talk about things like it's more blessed to give than to receive. All throughout Scripture, we see God in positions to give, being the all-powerful creator of the universe with every resource at His disposal, He still looks to us and asks us to live generously and to be a number 50. Paul, as he's writing to the Corinthian congregation, he is encouraging them to do the same thing. Paul, as he going around, was collecting money for some of the churches that were having struggles, especially some of those that were having struggles taking care of the poor among them. The churches were not just about gathering together and saying, aren't we thankful for who God is? It's part of it, but also we are looking out for those around us, and that we be called to be generous, living generous lives. Paul was encouraging them to do that exact thing. Now, you might already start thinking to yourself, here we go, the dreaded money service. See, Paul's already getting up to leave. He's like, get me out of here. No, 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 no. Reg, lock that door. This is not about money. It is about money, but it's not about money. It's not about money. It's about our attitude in life. The attitude that God calls us to live is generous lives. Yes, that does entail money, but that entails so many other things. Only a very small portion of that is really relegated to the concept of churches collecting money for its own operational activities. It's more about when we encounter other people, how do we live? Now, we understand that inbred in us is the idea of selfishness. It's a survival technique. I totally get it. In order for us to survive, we have to often be thinking about ourselves and our safety and our own priorities. But it's very fascinating that also in us is this innate love for other people. And sometimes those two things start warring with each other. Our selfishness versus helping other people out. I fear that as time continues to go on, that we are more apt to focus on selfishness rather than focus on helping others around us. That's the war we're always going to face. So our concept that Paul is trying to say is live generously and be a number 50. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is going around. He's talking about generosity. And he says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. I am still baffled by this. I have found that the fewer resources you have, the easier it is to be generous. Have you noticed that? I have noticed that some of the most generous people I encounter are those that have almost nothing. It's incredible to watch. Now, of course, that should then mean we should all be praying that God take away our financial resources so that we can become more generous in our lives. But I have heard of people who have nothing, but they continue to give a lot. And this was this encouragement that he was saying about these Macedonian churches. Verse 3, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." This is incredible. Again, a reminder, it's not about the money. It's not about looking at a specific dollar amount and saying, what should I give or not give? The idea is, am I living a generous life? Recently, I had the opportunity to watch, I don't know if you would call it a church, but I guess it was a group of people that gathered on a daily basis to sing and give praises to God and learn about God's grace and forgiveness. So I guess we'll call it a church for the time being. And this church, you would think, I don't know, with 50, 55 people in it, you would think to yourselves, as they collect offerings, that maybe they would do pretty well with 50 or so people. And I remember that this group of people had decided that they were going to take an offering, and they were going to support an entity that actually is very near and dear to our heart here at Searchlight, and that is the group known as Fakisha. And Fakisha is all about helping those in Africa who are street kids, specifically targeting boys, so that they don't end up in gangs and in trafficking situations, and that giving them a place to learn and grow. And so they said, well, let's collect money for Fakisha. And I was like, well, that's fantastic. I think that'd be great. So this group of 50 people, they only collected $250. Again, it's simple. You might say, gosh, that doesn't seem like a lot of money. $250 really isn't going to do anything. But that's the problem, is the moment you start focusing on a dollar amount, you forget that these 53 people were actually kids in the VBS. Now all of a sudden, how much does $250 sound to you? These kids would come up and they'd have just handfuls of change and they'd just drop it in this bucket. And when they were doing it, they were singing songs. And it was really funny because, to be honest, I think we were hoping that maybe after a week of VBS, we could gather, I don't know, maybe $100. I mean, they're kids. And then add into it some of the adult leaders who were high school students, some of them college students, they participated. But how many people here think that high school and college students are rolling in the dough? They ain't. They are poor, and we call them poor for a reason. They don't have anything. So it was very interesting as they would gather, and then, you know, Heather would tell me, oh, hey, we gathered this much. And all of a sudden, we're getting near the end. And, of course, the first day, hardly anything was gathered because we just told them, hey, we're doing this. And then as the week went on, it kept accelerating, and soon these little kids had collected $250. Do you think they gave generously? Yeah, you know, again, we get focused on money. We get focused on the amount. We need to think about the amount. No, it's not about the amount. It's about the ability that God has given to us. And when we live generous lives, then we are able to bless other people. And that's what Paul is saying to them. It's not about these people that he's collecting money for are poor, but some of the people who were the biggest givers were the other poor people in the churches who were giving because they said, we need to take care of our friends. And I'm sure nowhere in here does Paul ever even put a dollar amount or a shekel amount. Because is that the important part? No, it's not about the money. It's trying to learn and live by the axiom. Paul is constantly reminding them and helping them. And he's telling them this not to shame. Do you ever hate it when pastors guilt you about money? You can say yes. It's okay. You're like, can we say yes? I get really annoyed when I hear pastors say something akin to, you know, if you would just give up your stupid Starbucks habit, we could gather a lot more money in the church, right? And some of you are like, well, I don't drink much Starbucks. Well, that's fine. You can give up your beer money. I see the cars you drive out there in the parking lot, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, wait, that's not our cars. That's Calvary Chapel's cars. They're the ones rolling in the dust. Now, I've seen some of your cars, too. And it's like, well, wait a second. Is my job to say, hey, you need to be guilted into living generous lives? No. I have found that guilting provides temporary action, but not sustainable action. What provides sustainable action is when we live by the axiom to live generously and to be a number 50. That's how we are supposed to be. And so when Paul, as he's sharing with them, he's trying to encourage them, look at all that these people are doing. And that's the reason why I like to share stories like VBS. Because let me tell you, these kids, I wish you could have seen them as they're coming up, they're singing praises, and they're dropping coins. And I'm thinking to myself, are those coins going to make any difference whatsoever in God's kingdom? And the answer is, absolutely they will. Why? Because these kids are continuing to grow up, and they realize that there's other people that need help. This is also the reason why, again, it's not about giving money to church, but it's also living generous lives out in the world. Some of you have been granted incredible skills and talents. Are you living generously with those talents? Are you using what you have in order to bless other people? Some of you may have very large homes. Are you utilizing them for the grace and glory of God? Some of you have a lot of time on your hands. Are you using that for the grace and glory of God? Again, it's not about the money. It's about living the generous life. And that's what Paul is constantly reassuring them about. So he tells them, look, these people have done this, and I think it is so fantastic that you guys in the Corinthian congregation are also giving. And verse 5 is super important. I read it. Let me reread it. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord. Remind yourself of that every single time you give. If you give, whether that's time at a homeless shelter, where that is volunteering in the kids' ministry, whether that's donations to World Vision, when you give, make sure that you remember you're not giving to them, you're giving to God. Jesus tells that in a parable. The parable of the sheep and the goats, and he reminds them and says, look, you know what? You when I was needing clothing, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was in prison, you came and visited me. And they're like, God, I don't remember any of those times seeing you needing clothing or food or a visit in prison. And he says, whenever, this is huge, whenever you do this for the least of these, you do it for me. Now the challenge, one of the reasons why we don't live generous lives is because we are super scared that we're going to get taken advantage of, right? Oh my gosh. I remember so vividly on my vicarage congregation, I had my pastor, Kevin Wiesman, he was very big about making sure that when you live generous lives, that the people, it's actually going to go to do what God intends it to do. Sometimes living generous lives means not giving. Sometimes if a young adult has a cocaine addiction, living generously does not mean give them more money, right? Do you see, it's not about the money, right? It's about doing what's best for the person. And I remember that this guy came to our church, and boy, I got an awakening. I was just a vicar at the time, so I really didn't know anything. I was a practice pastor, and so the pastor brought me in so that I could witness what was going on. And this guy came in; he was very interesting, and he told this incredible tale. It was a yarn, and he spoke about how he was from the Midwest, and that he was connected to other Lutheran churches, but he really needed to get back because his mom was sick. And it was very interesting as I was listening to the story. It was a very elaborate story. And I'm like, how do we check this? And also, I had a really hard time focusing in because he had a very strange, unique deformation. He had a slit in his neck. It was just really odd to see that. And I was like, huh. And so the pastor said, well, excuse me, I'm going to talk to my vicar here for a little bit. And so I was like, man, this guy needs help. Like, we need to help him out. He goes, no. Living generously does not mean that sometimes. It means you got to see if what it's going for is what it's really going for. So he got on the phone and he started calling some of these places to find out, verify if this story was actually true. And as he kept talking about this and got, you know, checking out all this stuff, everything checked out. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this guy really does need our help. And so the pastor determined, sure enough, this guy is in need. And we remember that when we give, we're not just giving to him. What are we doing? We're giving it to God. We're telling God, hey, help us out on this. And so we're going to give to this gentleman to help him as if we're giving to the Lord. And I remember as we helped him out, didn't think much of it. I kind of felt good about myself. Like, hey, I'm living a generous life. It's very weird. Then the next week, when we saw in the newspaper about how a brand new train line had just opened through the valley area, and they welcomed on their first guest. And guess who the first guest was? That guy. You know why I knew it? He had a picture of him. He had a little slit right on his throat. And I'm like, that's the guy. And I started getting angry, and I'm like, that's it. I'm never going to give ever again. This is terrible. I got taken advantage of. And then my vicarage supervisor pulled me aside and said, wait a second. Who did you give to? Yeah, if you gave it to him, you're right. You're going to get disappointed. You're going to feel taken advantage of. But we didn't give it to him. What did we do? We gave it to God. And there are going to be times. Do not ever think that sometimes when we're taken advantage of, that somehow should prevent us from living generous lives. If we give for the wrong motives, we will always be disappointed. But if we give because we're given to God, that means a whole lot more. So he's going to keep going here. Verse 6. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. What is he telling them? Excel in the grace of giving. Translated, live generously and be a number 50. Verse 8, I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Constant reminder, how generous is God? It's indescribable. Has God ever given you a gift and you took advantage of it? Has God ever given you extra time on your hand and you squandered it playing Candy Crush? Has God ever given you extra resources and you blew it on a car you really didn't need? Does that prevent God from being generous to you? While you were still sinning, Christ died for you. That's the generousness of God. He is constantly giving to you even though you mismanage it. Constantly giving you more time even though you mismanage it. Constantly giving you opportunities to show grace to other people even though we squander it. God still lives generously to us even when we don't deserve it. And that's what he's saying. And then verse 10, he gets to a point because what apparently happens, and this is one of the reasons why I don't know, I'll probably get in trouble. I don't care. I hate pledges. You know, when organization says, well, we need to find out approximately how much money are you going to give to us in the next 6 months to a year, right? And it's a great idea because you say, oh, well, if I'm in this generous mood, I think I'll be able to do this. And so you write down an amount and it's a pledge. And then that organization will send you letters like, oh, hey, we've noticed that you haven't given your $1,000 yet to our organization. And so, you know, maybe you could consider it. But then you realize, oh my goodness, I just had to do repairs on my car and change the thermostat and 6 spark plugs and an oil leak. And I'm not speaking from experience at all. And $1,400 later, here you go. Thank you, Econo, Lube, and Tune. I can't keep that amount. And then all of a sudden you find out your kid needs a root canal. Again, not speaking from experience at all. Is here, there, and everywhere, scared that he's going to end up around the world with needing a root canal and end up in some Chinese dentist's office. So we quickly do that. $2,000 later, it gets really easy for me to go, I can't give. I can't do this. I can't live generously. I got to take care of myself. And now it's warring within me, right? The war I have of preserving myself versus being living a generous life. And so this is the reason why he's telling them, look, you guys have made a promise to live generous lives. And so just fulfill the promise. Things are difficult, things are hard, things are challenging, and that's why he goes, he says, verse 10, and here's my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. So two huge, big lessons. First of all, when we say, let's live generous lives, let's just not say it, let's actually do it. There were two people that had come into a church one time and they had told the pastor, they said, Pastor, we have just sold off some property and we are now giving it to you and the work, the ministry that you have. And you know what that pastor said? He said, you're lying. You did sell off a couple of properties, but you didn't net this amount. You netted this much greater amount, and now you're acting as if you're great and all, but you're not. And right now, there's a couple people right outside the door that are ready to take your dead bodies out. This is a true story. It's in the Bible. Ananias and Sapphira, two people that said, Paul, look how generous we are. This is so wonderful. Look at how much we give. First of all, is that how we should live? I'm okay to brag on PBS kids, but I'll never ever tell you about what I do because it's not about you looking at me and saying, wow, he lives a generous life, because that's unimportant. And so these two people had said they made a pledge, but they didn't, and they lied about it. You don't need to lie about it. This is you and God. This is not about you and me. This is not about you and the homeless ministry. This is not about you and World Vision. This is about you just living honestly. So if you say, let's live generously, live generously. And make sure that it is about what you have, not what you don't have. I'll be generous when I have time. Really? I'll be generous when I have money. I'll be generous when I have a skill. I'll be generous when my life is together. Well, I'll tell you this. I had partners giving to Fakisha. They had no money. They had no time. They had no skill. They barely could put a sentence together, and yet they were living generous lives. And that's what's inspiring. Again, I don't command this of you, ever. Do not ever, ever, ever accept a pastor that guilts you in what it is. It's not about that. It's about you learning to live generously and to be a number 50. We're going to keep going. Verse 13, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who has gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Let me translate that. God will provide. I have come to the conclusion that every time I had thought that I was about to go under financially, God saves. I still to this day have gone back through my finances and counted stuff up and said, I don't understand how we made it through. But God did it. I have yet, now I challenge you, because if this has happened to you, please come and tell me, but I have never had someone come up to me and say, you know what, I think I live too generous of a life. No one's ever done that yet. Because why? I don't think we can outgive. I don't think we can outserve. I don't think we can outpray. I don't think there's things that we can do that somehow overshadow what God does in our lives. It's amazing. And then he keeps going. I want to finish up. There's this incredible lesson in this second part, because Titus is sent to Corinth. I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service for the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. Translation. If you happen to be part of an organization that does, in fact, collect money, time, collect service for other people, it is absolutely 100% crucial that you administer to that gift as prudently as possible. I loathe when I hear of churches who take money from hardworking people and use it to further their own lifestyle. I do get offended when I hear of pastors saying, hey, please give more money because I need to have this new private jet. Because coach on the airlines is not good. I need to be flying in my own private jet. And aren't you supposed to be helping me advance the gospel? And I'm flying all over the world preaching and teaching. So you give to me a jet, and I will be able to pass on God's word. And I just want to yell out, wrong. You are misusing God's resources. If you ever want to check anything out, especially at this church, well, if you give money to this church, what does it go to? Pastor Manning's lavish lifestyle. Oh, yeah. I wish Heather were here because she would verify this too. Do you want to know how cheap I am? I like to call it frugal, personally. It's cheap. Thank you, Richard. Yeah, it is cheap. I have always like, well, can we spend that money better? Can we do this a little bit more, you know, less expensively? Can we do it this way? What about this way? I am constantly and always trying to say, and this is, you know, because I don't want anyone here to ever say, gosh, we gave, and all they did that on this, that, and the other thing. Oh my goodness. That is wrong in every possible way. So if you are part of an organization, whether that be an organization that organizes a can drive for homeless people, if you are part of a group that collects money so that you can send it off to World Vision, please, please, please don't ever, ever mismanage God's money. I don't want another Ananias and Sapphira stuff, and I find out you drop dead because you mismanage God's money. That would be terrible in all possible ways. Titus was one who loved to make sure that everything was on the up and up, but he also had the greatest attitude that this is all about joy. This is all about giving, as Paul would say, with hilarity. He even throws out this as a gauntlet, and I've thrown it out as a gauntlet. I had a pastor challenge me, and he's like, that's wrong. And I'm like, bring it on. I got scripture on my side. I said, if you cannot give joyfully, don't give it. And he's like, that's wrong. You should teach them to still give. Make it hurt a little bit because then they'll get trained up and then they'll give later. I'm like, no, no. And he's like, do you have any scripture to back it up? And I'm like, everything should be backed up by scripture. I'm like, you give cheerfully. The Lord is a cheerful giver. This is not about money. If you go and volunteer for the homeless and you are like, oh, here we go. Man, they stink. They smell. I don't like them. This is painful. This hurts. I can't wait to get out of here so I can get back, drink my Starbucks, and drive my nice car. Then you know what? Don't go. If you can't give your time, your talent, any resource you have without joy in your heart, does God have all that he needs? Could God do everything in this world without you? Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. He has everything. Like, he is the ultimate person that can print money. Like, boom, there's more. He could do anything he wanted, but he has chosen you and me to join into it. Why? Because I don't know about you. When I live generously, I get joy out of that. When I don't get joy, I better check myself. I better figure out what's going on. That was Titus. And then, verse 22. In addition, we are sending with them our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor in Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. Do you understand the partnership in the gospel that you have with so many people? This is one of those weird messages. It's like, how do you tell one of the most generous churches I've ever worked with in my entire life, how do you tell them to live generously? Because you already do that. And hopefully you understand that every time you give to people like Anastasia, who is going over to Slovakia, you're partnering in the gospel. When some of you donated so that Jacob can serve in China at a special needs orphanage, you're a partner in the gospel. When we partner with Fakisha and we get kids off the street in Africa, you are part of that. When you give so that we can have on the third Saturday of the month money and food and stuff ready for those who are less fortunate, you are a partner in the gospel. I'm grateful to have all of you as partners. Because the whole point of chapter 8 is to live generously and to be a number 50. This was the cool part when I had a video all set to show. So I didn't know what to do. Do I just rewrite my whole sermon? Which sometimes that does happen. But I decided no, because I really do want you to be number 50s. So this is where I'm going to need your help. Oh, that would have actually been a cool idea, but I don't know if that would have worked. So I just figured, if only all of you had access to the internet, if only you had some sort of handheld device that you could look thing up. I should try the TV. Now, you might have people next to you like Jackie who has no handheld. You have a handheld device? You probably, she does, yeah. So, can you get out? I've never done this before, so let's try it. Pull out your cell phones, and if you don't have a cell phone or you don't have an iPad, look at your neighbors and grab them and say, hey, live generously. You're supposed to give this to me. No, don't do that. So this is what I want you to do a Google search on. You ready? Hopefully it works. I did it in my office, so it worked. I can't give you the password. Now, Revelation 21:4 is the password if you want to log into SLM. Capital R. No. Anyway, just use data. This is what I want you to do a Google search on. Be a number 50 ESPN. Be a number 50 ESPN. It'll be a video. First couple ones were Twitter. One of them was like the Facebook page of ESPN. Be a number 50 ESPN. Are you finding it? Kind of? Yeah? I want you to watch that video right now. There's several of them? Well, I don't know. Just basketball. Yes, watch the basketball video. Yep, that's the one. Yeah. Oh, not taekwondo. It's basketball. Yeah, just any one of those will work. One's from Twitter, one's from a Facebook page, one's from ESPN. Doesn't matter. They're all the same. Oh, yes, some of you are watching it. Turn the sound up, too. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, some of you finished to the end, didn't you? You can't get to it? You can watch it later. I'll describe it in just a moment. I love it. I love hearing this. This is kind of cool. I can tell who's watched it because you have big grins on your face. For those of you that can't see it, it is a basketball game for kids with special needs, which, of course, always near and dear to my heart. Mark Thomas, super tall, plays basketball, but he is a lot like those completely disinterested. But in this video, and again, go home and check it out. Maybe I'll post it up on my Facebook page later on. And it's about this student who, I don't know, was about this big, about Madison height, and he's trying to shoot, but he can't shoot the basketball. But there's number 50, and number 50 is kind of like a Goliath-looking kid. And what does he do? He keeps running over and grabbing the ball from everyone else. Why? Not to shoot the ball himself, which would be great. Like, oh, let's be aggressive. Let's shoot the ball for myself. Let's get the points for myself. Let's see how great I am. But he takes the ball, and he hands it to this little kid, and he misses, and he misses, and he misses. And I'm thinking to myself, just give up, kid. Come on. No, no, no. We don't need people that give up. We need people who live generously and are a number 50 and keep going. And then did you see at the end when the kid made it? Did you see him running down? Oh, yeah. That's what happens when you're a number 50. When you live generous lives and you give. I just wish I could tell the stories. I mean, that's why I love telling the VBS stories, to watch kids give, to hear from Sam Bretzman when he talks about Fakisha, when I hear from Anastasia what she's doing, when I hear from Boy with the Ball, when I hear from the Kosovo Baseball Initiative, a whole brand new group is going over to Kosovo to teach kids how to play baseball, but to do it in a way that also teaches them the love of God. There's a brand new thing that just happened this past couple of days, which was fantastic. Had a knock on my door. It was late. I was tired. I wanted to get out of there, but knock on the door, and I'm like, "Who knocks on my door?" There's a super secret entrance to my office, and I just don't like people to know about it because then you come and you knock on the door. It's like, "What do you want?" But knock on the door, and I'm like, "This is odd." And I thought it was maybe Robert coming back for his dog, but it was. I open the door, and there's two guys, and they're talking to me, and they said, "Yeah, we need to speak to the pastor." And I'm like, "Well, which church?" There's several of us here. "Oh, we need the pastor in charge." I'm like, "Yes." Let me introduce you to my wife. She's the one in charge. I said, "What do you need?" He says, "We're desperate. We don't know what to do, and we've been trying everything, and we've been praying, but we run a Bible study at Cal State Fullerton, and one of the things that they do at Cal State Fullerton is with exchange students who come over, there's several of them that are coming over from China, and we've got a group, about 20 of them, and we don't have a place to have a Bible study, and part of it is we have to do conversational English, and what we do is we want to teach them English with the Bible and converse about God and the Holy Spirit, and so we use it as a chance to witness, but also just to love and care for them." And what have we been praying about as we try to reach out to Cal State Fullerton? It was a knock on my door. And it was so funny because when they said, "Do you have a space like that?" I said, "Well, let's go and check it out." And we went. We took them down to the living room, and it's really nice. And they're like, "This is fantastic." And they're like, "Yeah, but we're, I don't know, how much does it cost?" Well, thankfully, I was preparing a sermon about how to live generously and to be a number 50. And I said, "Wait, charge you for a Bible study to people who don't know anything about Jesus? Do you know what? You're all partners in that because of this facility, because of this place that is dedicated to God and His work. You are a number 50 because you live generously. Continue to do that in every part of your life and watch what God does. It's amazing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to live generous lives and to be a number 50. Lord, you have put us in special places, special times. We don't need a lot of money. We don't need a lot of time. We don't need a lot of resources. All we need is a whole lot of love, and we just need that attitude to live generously. And so, pray, Lord, that as we live these generous lives, we're number 50s. To those Chinese students at Cal State Fullerton, to the disabled students in China that the Around the World is doing, to the Kosovo Baseball Initiative, to the teaching in Slovakia, to everything that we do right here, right now, to the person we're going to see at the grocery store, the person we're going to be hanging out with at Red Robin later on today. We pray that we would live generously, that we would generously give your grace and mercy, because you have given that to us over and over and over and over again, and we can't understand why, but we're grateful for it. And Lord, we are tempted to just live generously because we get taken advantage of, we hear things go wrong, but that's not what you've called us to do. You've called us to live that way, even if that happens. So we pray that we would continually do that. Thank you for the opportunity to serve and to minister. What a great thing. Thank you for the partnership in the gospel. Thank you that somehow you would love us enough to entrust us in this mission. Thank you for generously giving your grace to us when we did not deserve it at all. Thank you for being the most liberal person, entity around. So liberal with your grace, so liberal with your love. May we do that because of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.